What's the biggest thing holding you back from a seven-figure recruitment business? It's not your market, and it's not your work ethic. It's actually the hidden roadblocks in your business that you don't even realize are there. That's why we created the Seven-Figure Freedom Scorecard. It's a free diagnostic tool that helps recruitment firm owners identify the biggest growth barriers standing in their way. In less than 10 minutes, you'll get a personalized report showing you exactly where you're strong and where you're struggling, and showing you the next steps to build a business that scales predictably without burning out. If you're ready to stop guessing and start growing, then take the free assessment now at recruitmentcoach.com/scorecard.
Better applicant tracking is not important anymore. A better ATS, that doesn't give you the extra revenue. You need more possibilities to monetize your CV database and your candidates.
During the Great Recession, Herrard's recruitment agency grew. During COVID, it grew again. And when war broke out in the Ukraine, the business kept growing, which is remarkable given that his operations are based in Eastern Europe.
As crazy as it sounds, I looked at our revenue and why we are growing. And if you take all the crises in 2008, 2012, the COVID, I saw a trend that whenever there was a crisis, we made a big step forward. So in 2008, 2009, we were probably the only recruitment agency with a 20% increase in sales.
Today, the business generates over $280 million in annual revenue. Along the way, Herrard realized that relying on one revenue stream is risky. So he built 8 revenue streams.
If your ATS doesn't support more revenue lines, you are basically tied and restricting yourself to further growth and profit. So you need to have a tech which provides you more revenue streams. The recruitment revenue platform provides 8 revenue streams. Can you imagine what the difference that will do with your revenue and profit if you are betting only on one, or you are getting a revenue from 8 streams?
Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Whitby, and my guest today is Herrard Coolin, founder of Lugera, a recruitment agency with offices in 11 countries and over 500 employees. He's also the creator of the Recruitment Revenue Platform.
The way we reached that 243 million euro revenue last year was always based on technology. It's in our DNA to be innovative, and that technology is key for expansion. We built the recruitment revenue platform was that what we did manually, we thought, okay, we should have tech in order to support us. You know, to get rid of the boring jobs, to get rid of all the stuff recruiters and salespeople don't like to do.
You can learn more at recruitmentrevenueplatform.com. In this episode, Herrard shares how years of investing in technology allowed him to add new revenue streams, remove manual work, and build a recruitment business that kept growing through crisis.
Well, in one of our markets, when there was a crisis, all the permanent staffing revenue went down. We could compensate it with outplacement, and we compensated it with an extra revenue of 1 million euro.
Herrard, welcome. Great to see you again.
Nice being here with you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, of course, of course. Well, look, first, I want to thank you for your mentorship. And we've known each other for many years now, and it started out that you were my client, but now it's more the other way around. I ask you for advice, and I'm grateful for your insights, and you've been so extremely supportive and encouraging for me and my business. So thank you so much.
Totally my pleasure, Mark. And let me thank you for one thing. Do you remember that you coached our team in Czech Republic, GIT?
Absolutely.
2025, we have a record profit. You know,
your
spirit still is in the company.
Okay, that's awesome to hear. I should catch up with Mikael and Lucia and those guys. So yeah, awesome team. So look, the last 2 times you came on the podcast, you spoke mainly about how you grew your staffing business, which I believe is now something like 240, 3 million euros in revenue. Today, I want to talk about your technology business, which if listeners are interested in following along and seeing what you're doing, it's recruitmentrevenueplatform.com.
Yeah.
So let's start about the why. Why you've already built a really successful staffing business. Why did you build a technology business?
Well, our successes in Lugera, the way we reached that 243 million euro revenue last year was always based on technology. It's in our DNA to be innovative, and that technology is key for expansion. And that we built the recruitment revenue platform was that what we did manually, we thought, okay, we should have tech in order to support us, you know, to get rid of the boring jobs, to get rid of all the stuff recruiters and salespeople don't like to do, right? And some years ago, I got an epiphany, as crazy as it sounds, but I looked at our revenue and why we are growing. And I always thought why it is that we grow. And if you take all the crises in 2008, 2012, the COVID, I saw a trend that whenever there was a crisis, we made a big step forward. So in 2008, 2009, we were probably the only recruitment agency with a 20% increase in sales. So I looked at it, how is that possible? Then with COVID, in COVID, we went from 113,000 euro to the next year, 190,000 euro, right? And then I got that epiphany, because you know what you are doing, at least you think that you know what you are doing. And the
Herod, let me just let me clarify these figures. You said 130,000 euros?
Do you mean
a million?
113 million.
Okay, that's a big That's a big difference. Okay.
And
you went
then
from 130 to 180 during COVID.
I'm checking if you are listening, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, got it. Sorry to interrupt your flow there.
So, what was the cause that we all the time could grow? And also in 2025, we grew 30%. And then I found out that without really being aware of it, we have built an all-seasons service portfolio. And what does it mean? That we don't rely only on one revenue stream, but on many more. So, and today I see that a lot of permanent staffing agencies focus only on permanent staffing, while their clients are also buying outplacement. They are buying contracting. And why would you not embrace all those services? And then you come to the biggest problem an agency owner has. Their applicant tracking system, their ATS, is only supporting one revenue stream. So your ATS is limiting you to expand in many more services, which you could fill with the same clients, with the same candidates. Well, and what we have always done is to build more revenue streams so that clients don't have to go to many other vendors. Because what recruitment agencies owners should realize is that you have a client, they are used to receive your invoices. They know to find your bank account to send money to. So it is so easy, actually, to also sell outplacement, to sell contracting, to sell more services with the same team, same clients.
Okay, I love this concept of the all-seasons service portfolio. And so by seasons, in this case, you mean sort of economic seasons, right? And this fits in beautifully with the name of the show, which is The Resilient Recruiter, because what you're talking about is building a more resilient business, which is able to withstand shocks and even continue growing during crises, because you have multiple revenue streams. And So therefore, you have a much more resilient business. And if you only have one revenue stream, then that can go up or down, right? But if you have multiple revenue streams, then not only do sales increase, but also it's much more resilient, because if one of those revenue streams declines, you still have other revenue streams. So this is making total sense to me, Gerard. I've got more questions, but keep going with your story of why you started the. So what I'm hearing is technology and innovation has always been part of your DNA, but how did that develop ultimately into having this software platform?
Well, for example, I was completely annoyed by the costs of maintaining our CV database. So we have now around 1 million candidates in our talent base, in our new talent base. But how much is the percentage you think that we really monetize from those 1 million people? What would be the percentage?
Yeah, very the minority. Obviously, we only place a small percent of the candidates that we speak to.
Exactly. So that is, in our case, with all those CVs, 0.2, 0.3%. So, but all those other 99%, that is a big investment. We invest hundreds of thousands of euros per year into that database. And I thought there must be a way how to monetize the 99% of all those candidates, because that is where our capital is. So 10 years ago, really 10 years ago, we had the idea for an application. And I went to Silicon Valley and everywhere to see if there would be companies willing to design it, to develop it. Nobody wanted it. They said, okay. if it's ready, come to us. But the technology you need doesn't exist today. Well, 10
wait,
years.
Wait. Let me just press. I'd like to hear the story. So like this is 10 years ago. So they're talking about 2015 thereabouts.
Yeah.
You went to Silicon Valley. Like, so I'm picturing, Gerard, you're getting on a plane. You're going to California and you're going... And what you who are you meeting in investors, like VC firms? What's your
not development companies? So application development companies. And I did my research. I went to the proper companies.
Yeah,
I met with them, and they were all smiling. Were very nice, and they said, "Come back if you have made it."
Okay. So no one was interested in this.
They couldn't.
What was the Why didn't they want to build this?
The matching technology between a CV and a vacancy is extremely difficult, let alone the parser. But okay, parser, we're not talking about the matching. And we wanted to match a Ukrainian CV with a Spanish vacancy. So no language barriers, etc. So that was the problem. And then the communication... and the Elasticsearch, so to immediately match from millions and millions of CVs, immediately match the vacancy. So that should be done in a second.
Wow. So it's worth pointing out, of course, that this is way before AI was, mainstream. Of course, AI existed, but it wasn't, small, medium-sized businesses had no access to this kind of capability, right? So you were very early.
Yeah, and we have made our AI matching tool. So it basically AI, most of AI is machine learning, like 70-80%. And we started 10 years ago with machine learning, data training sets, and a data training team. And our matching AI, if you see it, Mark, it is fabulous. It's unrivaled. Nobody has it at this level. So, but yeah, that's 10 years of work, right?
Yeah. So this was the very first use case or that you developed was the ability to monetize the candidates on your database that weren't being placed through the normal day-to-day work of your recruitment consultants. So that was the impetus. So what happened next?
Yeah, then, so we developed the tool.
You make it sound straight. So when you say you developed the tool, like how much time, how much money, what was involved in getting to the point where you had something that was working?
Well, we thought it would take us 2 years and 400,000 euro. In the end, it took us 10 years and around 2 million euro.
Oh, so, okay. It's, well, there's a lesson there, right? Things always take more time and more cost than you expect when you're developing something new. So this is probably why nobody else did it, Gerard, because nobody else was willing to invest that much time and that much capital in something which hadn't been done before. It seems kind of crazy.
It was. And my partners didn't like it in the beginning. So I took the project.
What were they saying? Like, what did they want you to pull the plug or?
Yeah, you're wasting money. You're wasting time. We don't want to contribute to it. So I took it on my side and I just kept on investing and working at it.
Okay.
And it should pay off one day, right?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So what point? So this is like a 10-year kind of, and it sounds like that was your first revenue stream that you added, but this is a multi-year project and it seems like it's kind of grown and exploded over that time. So walk me through the progression. So what happened next?
Well, what we did is we installed a beta version in Ukraine because our company in Ukraine was known for temporary staffing, not for permanent staffing. And our partner and CEO, Anastasia, wanted to dive into permanent staffing. And so we installed the beta version of STAR, part of the recruitment revenue platform. And within 2 years, Ukraine, our office, was market leader in permanent staffing in Ukraine.
Wow.
In two years.
When was this?
In 2019, we started. In 2021, we were up and running. Then something happened. Then Russia invaded Ukraine. So things went a bit different than we expected. But we made a big step forward. And that was 50% thanks to the application. But of course, an application doesn't do the job by itself. You need a team who is supporting it, who wants to work with it. Otherwise, nothing happens. But in combination with that spirit of the team, it went marvelous.
All right. So there's a learning point here for all listeners, which is like to diversify your revenue streams. And, you know, so if you are right now, you're only doing temporary staffing, then, you know, there's a huge untapped opportunity for you to also do permanent placement direct hire. And vice versa, if you only make permanent placements, then why haven't you added another revenue stream to deal with, whether it's temp, contract, interim, there should be some other revenue stream available to you there. And crucially, and this is something you alluded to earlier that we didn't really delve into, but your existing client relationships are the easiest to get repeat business from, right? And they are already buying additional services or they have other needs that you are not right now probably servicing. So that's untapped revenue potential, but also you're maybe allowing competitors to get in to your clients because you're not offering something that they are. So they're maybe starting out by offering a complementary but non-competitive service. But what stops them, once they're into your client, from, you know, starting to erode the service that you're providing, right? So the more, if you already have those client relationships, how can we increase revenue with existing clients? So I think that's super smart.
Yeah, and that is what the recruitment revenue platform is supporting. Like if your ATS doesn't support more revenue lines, you are basically tied and restricting yourself to further growth and profit. So you need to have a tech which provides you more revenue streams. And the recruitment revenue platform provides 8 revenue streams. Can you imagine what the difference that will do with your revenue and profit if you are betting only on one, or you are getting a revenue from 8 streams?
Most recruiters try to convince new clients they're credible on the call, but the best time to establish trust is long before the sales call even starts. That's exactly why we've launched a new service here at Recruitment Coach called Trusted Voice Video. In just 30 minutes a month, we help you to create 30 days of professional video content. No scripts, no awkward performances. You simply show up for a guided conversation around topics you already know inside out. We'll tell you exactly what to talk about, what equipment you need, and help you feel confident on camera. We'll make sure you look and sound great, even if you hate seeing or hearing yourself on video. And we handle everything else. You'll get to work directly with my colleague Sanjay. He's the guy who produces this podcast you're listening to right now, as well as my own LinkedIn videos. If you want clients showing up already pre-sold on working with you, book a free video content strategy call at recruitmentcoach.com/video.
It's 8x.
Okay, so let's dive into that. So obviously you developed the software initially for your own business as a way to de-risk the business, to make it more robust, more resilient, to be able to withstand crises, which we've had many. You mentioned the financial crisis and then COVID and then other. I mean, it seems like every 2 years or so, there's like another shock, and some are bigger and some are smaller. But that's the way business works, right? Is we should expect that there's going to be problems that you can't foresee and you can't control. So how do you protect your business from things that you can't even see? And one way is adding these other revenue streams. So that I still haven't fully understood the monetization of the CV database. So can you explain how that works? And then we'll look at the other 7 revenue streams.
So we upload the CV database in one of the applications. And then all those people are immediately matched with all the relevant vacancies in your country.
Not just the vacancies you already have and like that you've with your existing clients.
Yeah, but all the other vacancies. So immediately you see, for example, you have selected your categorized your CV database with 20%, which are excellent candidates. All these people are immediately matched with all the relevant vacancies in a country or in more than one country. I mean, you can choose many countries, but let's say you do it only one country. Then you can send out a message to those people. Hey, these might be some relevant jobs for you if you are looking for a new job. What you could also do is you can send the anonym CVs of these people to all those vacancies.
Okay, so what you're doing is combining. So there's 2 different tactics here, which recruiters have used for a long time to make additional placements and increase their client base. One is kind of scanning the relevant job postings for their industry or their location, right? And then following up. And the other is presenting a candidate profile speculatively, anonymously to companies to see if they would be interested in someone with that profile.
Exactly.
And what you're doing is combining those both, but also automating the whole thing so that when your system is able to scan all of the job postings and then all of the candidates that you have access to in your database and match them up automatically. Is that what I'm on? Am I understanding correctly?
Exactly. Because we did that manually, and many recruitment agencies do that manually. And we had a team of 30 people doing it in Romania, 30 people. Now we have a part-timer, and we have automated most of it. And what we do, we now cover 100% of the market, while those 30 people will hardly be able to do 10% of the market. So every candidate is being matched all the time with new vacancies, which are relevant. Every vacancy is matched all the time with the relevant candidates. So you reach out to candidates, you reach out to clients, and it is super essential because it's also the best lead generator you can imagine, because companies posting a vacancy are hot. They really need people. They really need your service. So staying on top of mind with all those people, consistency and all the time, that breeds results. You know, it's also working your numbers. If you do it consistently and all the time, automatically the business comes to you.
This is the reason why recruiters and recruitment companies have that feast and famine, you know, cycle is consistency, right? Because what I think probably everyone listening has manually done some version of what you've just described, but because it's time consuming, and that's why people, they do it for a bit, but then they might get busy with new jobs or whatever, and then they stop doing that work, and then the pipeline dries up, and then when things get slow, then they start doing it again. But it's like stop, start. Whereas what you're describing is just going continuously, right?
Yeah. Well, we have learned in an early stage already that consistency in sales is key. And I've been following your posts where you focus on sales tools, because that is crucial. I think the whole world should look at you and do what you offer, right?
They would, Gerard. So you've got the monetizing a CV data of your CV database. That's one revenue stream. So you're really maximizing the investment that you've already made to generate those candidates and get them into your system. Do you have any examples of how that particular, just that one revenue stream has impacted whether it's at Lugera or any of your other clients?
It doubles the number of placements per recruiter. It doubles with hardly any extra work. So if you are specialized on middle management positions and you do 2 placements per month, you can do 4.
Okay, awesome. So it's funny you chose those numbers, because I have observed of course, it depends on your specialty, your location, all kinds of factors. But as a gross generalization, a mid-market permanent recruiter on average is typically doing 2 deals a month, right? And the top performers at that like mid-level are doing 4 or 5 placements a month.
Exactly. Our experience too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You can double that with the right technology.
Okay. Amazing. And you've also replaced 30. So you were doing this at scale on a manual basis to create that consistency, but it needed a lot of manpower. So you had 30 people in Romania, and this is all they were doing, is like the matching and then the marketing of those candidates to those jobs. Wow. It goes to show that you can scale anything, even if it's a very manual process. But with technology, you've replaced the 30 people with one part-time person to accomplish the same.
No, much more, much better. The accomplishment is much higher. But there are other income streams. So I was talking to an American agency owner who wanted to partner with us. And I showed him the system and I said, okay, you can also do outplacement.
Okay, explain what that means.
Yeah, he never heard of it. But that is, clients come to us, they have a manager, and that manager, they want to outplace, they want to fire the guy, or he is fired, but they want to help him or her to get a new job. So then we ask a fee for training that person, getting that person a new job. So now our application is discovered by outplacement companies. So what happens is that I was recently helping Valentin to find a job as a head of supply chain. I asked him, where do you want to work? He said, Denmark, Romania, Slovakia. Those are my preferred countries. I uploaded his CV. Within a second, all the relevant jobs from Denmark, Slovakia, and Romania were listed with a high score to a lower score, which was maybe not so relevant. I sent him this overview. He applied, because you can apply with one button. And within a week, he had an interview with a Danish company. So if you do outplacement, you just upload the CVs and you immediately and all the time have a refresh of the newest, most relevant vacancies. How outplacement companies now work is they have the CV, and they endlessly scroll on LinkedIn, on the job portals, to see if there is a match somewhere. The job is done within a second and constantly.
So the beauty of outplacement, and it's not something which many recruitment agencies have looked at, but it's sort of recession-proof, because in a down market, when there's more people looking for jobs and companies are doing layoffs, then this allows you to still build the relationship with the employers and monetize that relationship, but instead of placing people into those businesses, you're helping them with people they're letting go to find new jobs. And so you're still providing a valuable service. And are you charging for that, or are you just doing it as a goodwill? Like, what are you?
You charge for that. You have to charge for it, because you also give application training and all those interview training. But I can give you a beautiful example. In one of our markets, when there was a crisis, all the permanent staffing revenue went down. We could compensate it with outplacement. And we compensated it with an extra revenue of 1 million euro only in outplacement in 1 year. So, but it's big business, outplacement.
Okay. I maybe didn't realize how big that opportunity was. When I've, the only, I think one time I was involved in anything like this, the recruitment agency I was working for, one of their best clients was a big drinks company in Scotland. There's a lot of, as you know, whiskey companies, and they were unfortunately doing a round of layoffs, and we went in to provide interview training and get those candidates registered to try and help them find another position, and give them feedback about their CV and all that stuff. But we were doing it more to help that client and to make sure that no other recruitment agency could break in, because they felt indebted to us but we weren't really working. We weren't doing much to help those candidates find jobs. We were giving them interview training and CV feedback. If we had any other jobs for them, we were, of course, sending them. But it sounds like this is taking it to another level. So it makes sense that you would want to monetize that.
Yeah. Well, I can give you a nice example. 10 or 12 years ago, we recruited for Nokia 2,400 people. Then the smartphone was introduced, and Nokia asked us to outplace 2,400 people.
Wow. So wait, you'd place 2,400 people with Nokia?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then
over some time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you did the outplacement for those people once Nokia didn't compete in the smartphone era. Interesting. Okay, so we've got monetizing the CV database. We've got outplacement services. What are the other revenue streams that recruitment agencies should be thinking about?
Well, the recruitment revenue platform enables to have an RPO model, a recruitment process outsourcing, where you can implant our software also for the client side, so that you and the client work really on one platform together. That is an extra benefit for if you deliver an RPO service. Then we have what we call the talent scan. And when we introduce a shortlist, only one candidate is hired of five or four. The three others are good. They are looking for a new job, and you don't do nothing with them. So also these people you upload in your staff, and you can immediately introduce them to all the relevant vacancies you have. What happens that instead of only one placement you do with your shortlist, you have 50% more. So our statistics now are not double, but 1.5. So with every shortlist, we place half a person more in average. But that's real profit. That's extra profit. It's just...
Right, exactly. Because the only increased cost is a direct cost of maybe extra commission to a salesperson potentially, but everything else just goes straight to the bottom line, right?
Exactly. So you immediately become profitable or more profitable. And I've seen many agencies struggle. They work hard. They are great in candidates. But, better applicant tracking is not important anymore. A better ATS, that doesn't give you the extra revenue. You need more possibilities to monetize your CV database and your candidates.
Yeah, you mentioned hard work. Obviously, hard work is important, but that's just the cost of, that's the minimum, right? So you need to work hard in your to be successful in business. But it's not enough. Just hard work does not guarantee that you're going to actually, achieve your goals.
No, it's my conviction, but that is, of course, how we have the experience, that you must have the best tech in the market. Because if you have this tech and your competitors don't have it yet, you make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so we've got the RPO, we've got the talent scan. What are the other revenue streams that the recruitment revenue platform enables?
And that is something really, really cool. We have the technology for a white label job portal. What does it mean? That we give the recruitment agency, or they can have their own job portal. So, and that means that when they have their own job portal, they can add two more revenue streams, one from job seekers, one from premium corporate subscriptions. So you have a job portal, which attracts candidates, and you give all the vacancies, and people are happy because they can find very quickly a new job. You don't make money on that, but your recruiters have access also to that database for candidates, and you give access to your job portal by clients, and companies can buy CVs per piece. And that revenue goes to you. Then we have found that job seekers don't like to look for jobs because they're lazy. They immediately want to have all the jobs and they want to apply with one click. This job portal enables that somebody puts only his job title, can also upload a CV. Immediately, they see all the jobs which are available for them. They get credits, 10 credits for free. After that, they have to pay. And they have to pay, for example, 5 euro per month or 10 euro per month, a little amount. But these people don't have the hassle anymore to constantly look for jobs and apply. The system does it for them. And people love to pay for that. because they want instant results.
Okay. It must take a lot of people, though, at like $5 or $10, you know, dollars or euros per month to make that worthwhile.
Yeah, but you get, if it works, you get a lot of people there. So we did a test with Adecco in Croatia. So they had for 1 year that job portal, and they got 5,000 candidates per month.
Okay, wow. Who were paying for the credits or?
No, they were not paying yet because we run tests, etc.
Okay.
But if you get 5,000 without advertising it, of course you have to do stuff for it. It never goes just like that. But it is, these services are already in the Netherlands and in the United States. You can, job seeker subscriptions. People pay 20, 30 euro, but still they have to do a lot of manual work. The thing with us is it's only a couple of clicks and it's done. So
it's an interesting strategy. One of our clients, Jordan Wilden, who's been on the podcast a few months ago, he did exactly this. He created a job board for the same industry as his recruiting business. And it was very complimentary because a lot of clients, so then a lot of his marketing to companies, what the way of them getting their foot in the door was offering to advertise on their very niche job boards for the industry he serves. And there wasn't any other job board for that industry. It was very unique. And he got a lot of organizations interested, but of course, then once he has the relationship, then they were able to upgrade many of those customers into their full service, recruitment offering. And meanwhile, he's also building a candidate database. So, but he spent thousands and thousands to build that job board, right? So it's not an easy thing to do.
No. Well, we have the technology. We have the landing page for you. So it's just plug and play. That is the future, especially in those niches. So we have now a joint venture in Romania where we have 19% of the shares. They are focused on healthcare vacancies. So they will have their healthcare job portal, very specialized. And I am sure that this will greatly benefit his own recruiters because they tap into a much bigger database and he will be able to get more revenue streams. And he has market know-how. He knows which companies are advertising, what they are doing, and he can upgrade or, how do you say it, upsell his own services. So you will have a lot of excellent data, yeah, and how to work with it, because that is what we help with.
I love it. All right. So I think we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 revenue streams so far. I want to get to the 8 ARR. So
okay. So those are the premium subscriptions. Those are 2, permanent stuffing, temporary stuffing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it.
RPO.
So wait, premium subscriptions, what's that?
So companies on that job portal must buy a subscription, and the job seekers as well. So that will be passive income streams.
Got it. So you've got the premium subscription with the company, then you've got the job seeker subscriptions. So that's 2 with the white label. That's what you...
Yeah. Then permanent stuffing it supports, of course, because it is an excellent applicant tracking system as well. Then you have temporary stuffing and contractors. So you can immediately render those services because the software completely supports it. You have your CV database monetization. You have your talent scan, which is selling your shortlist. You have outplacement, and you have the RPO model, the embedded software, embedded recruitment solutions. So
that all makes sense. So what would be helpful to understand then is, I understand the matching, the monetization of the database, the talent scan, all those aspects, but what about the actual outreach part? Like, how does that work with the recruitment revenue platform?
Well, that is an amazing thing what we now have. So what we do in our companies, the moment a vacancy is posted, that company receives automatically an email. Hey guys, you posted a vacancy on Job Portal or LinkedIn or whatever. We understand that you would like to wait for and hope that you get the right candidate. So I will send you an email again in 4 weeks from now to see if you were successful. If not, we would love to help you out because we have the candidates. Then that goes automatic. You just make the template and that's it. Then after 4 weeks, they get another email, or after 3 weeks, whatever you want. But after 4 weeks, we do it. Were you successful with your posting? If not, would you now be open to work with us? And then we also can say we have 34 very relevant candidates for you at this moment. So the first email, no reactions. They read it maybe. Well, you can see if it's opened or not, but they don't get back to you. The 4 weeks email, you get reactions. Thank you very much. What does it cost? How do you do it? And whatever. And you have a hot lead.
Love it. So actually, this is a great little tip, Gerard, which is, I think the way many recruiters do this is not effective. They start immediately, they see the job posting and they start offering their service, which, first of all, the company is advertising because they're hoping to find that candidate directly, right? And secondly, I don't want to compete with the ad and send candidates in when they're going to get mixed in with all the other candidates and applicants and so on. It's a low probability of success to do that effort. But the way you've staged it is, the first email plants the seed and introduces the service, and then the follow-up message is after they've had time to review the candidates they're already receiving. And now we know that ads are only going to work in probably like less than half of the cases. I don't know what the statistic is, right? How many job ads are successful at finding the very best person and filling the job? But at that stage, they are now frustrated and, you know, disappointed with the quality of the applicants. And so now they're much more open-minded. And I love that you're telling them specifically how many candidates that you already have that could be relevant. And then what happens from there?
Yeah, then we take it offline, of course. So that then it's up to the salesperson or the recruiter, if they do the sales, how to make a deal. And then, of course, there the technology doesn't help. Then it is the real human touch, the skill, how good you are. But with all these automation, our people can focus on the real skills and added value. And now they focus on what really matters. And all that manual work and looking at screens and scrolling through vacancies and CVs, all that work has become obsolete. And nobody liked it anyhow.
No, absolutely. That's the part. Recruiters they like dealing with people, right? That is what they're skilled at. And that's what attracted them to become a recruiter in the first place. And typically, the best salespeople are the worst at admin and that kind of work, right? We don't like it. And that's why the compliance to like data entry and all that stuff is always a challenge. So, Gerard, one question is integrations. Like a lot of listeners may already have invested in different technologies. So they probably already have an ATS. They may have other tools that they're using. How can they integrate the recruitment revenue platform with tools they may already have?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we thought about that. That is why we have the recruitment revenue platform. It exists of a couple of modules. And one module is STA, and that is a plugin for any ATS there is. So STA will turbo boost, will really upgrade your existing ATS to the next level. So you will get close to a recruitment revenue platform already. Because with STA, you do talent scan, you do outplacement, and you can monetize your CV database. So, and it's super easy to work. You just register, you buy some credits, and you work with it. It is crazy simple. It is, and I was talking to an American client who was interested in STA, and she was a bit disappointed. And when I told her the price, so I told her it will cost you maximally €300 to €400 dollars per month. And she said, oh, that cheap. We have something like that, and we pay $10,000 a month. And she thought it can't be good what we have.
Right. Okay.
So I was thinking, well, should I increase my price or... But we don't, right?
Yeah.
It is just the way it is. So no matter how powerful the application is,
yeah,
you will not spend a lot on it. So it is...
So without getting too techie here, do you have a native integration with the popular ATSs, or is it an API key, or how do they talk to each other?
An API key. And... it depends on the ATS. So we are connected now with Bullhorn. Everybody knows Bullhorn, with our own ATS NTB, the new talent base, and with several local applications. But that is not a big deal, you know, to connect is.
So if I don't use Bullhorn, then... You know, should I still talk to you about STA? Like how and how easy? Because I think the barriers people are going to imagine is like, oh, well, first of all, it's embedding that new technology with our existing business processes, tech stack, and so on. The second is learning curve and like getting the team up to speed and using any new technology. I think those are the two barriers that may stop people.
That's correct. Well, integrating it in any other tech is no problem because we made it to be integrated. So that is no issue. The second issue, and that is an important...
Who does that? Can you help with that? Or...
Yeah, sure. Our team does that. No problem. That is no issue. The second thing is much more... That is a big problem, having our team work with it. So what we always advise is you just hire one person, a student or a person who can spend 1 or 2 hours a day on STA, and that person will work with it. So nobody else has to be trained in it. Nobody else has to work on it. This one person, this part-timer, can do the job for an entire country.
Wow. Okay, wait. This is a cool concept, Herod. So what you're saying is like, instead of trying to get the existing team to change their habits, you're saying, let's hire one person specifically to orchestrate this.
Yeah. Or, for example, the receptionist in your company or a very junior recruiter, they can do the job. And they will just spend 1 or 2 hours a day, and that's all. And this way, we had clients that a student spending 2 hours a day on STA, on this part, was selling more the first month than the entire sales team together of that recruitment agency.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. So I guess then that gets other people to pay attention.
Exactly. And once the recruiter sees that the talents can work, so that candidates from the shortlisted but rejected vacancy are being sold and they cash in the bonus, they become interested.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Okay, this is really interesting because, so I immediately have a client for you, Gerard, now that I've heard that story, because one of our clients was telling me just yesterday that he has a part-time administrator who's helping them with sourcing. And he said this young woman is very smart and she's very capable, but she's only available for, I think it was 18 hours a week or something. And he was like, what should I get her doing that's going to maximize the productivity of everyone else in those 18 hours that we've got her working? She's super conscientious and she figures things out and she's, you know, and so the light bulb just went on. I think we should connect her and get her using this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And more you don't need.
Yeah, fantastic. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about today that we haven't covered, Gerard?
If I may, if people will react on this, I would love to give everybody, if they are interested in one of these aspects, in STA, this is one module.
So STA is an acronym, STAA, right?
Yeah. It's Sales and Talent Acquisition Application. And I would love to offer everybody 100 free credits so they can just start with it and experiment.
Great idea. Let's do this. Gerard, if people go recruitmentcoach.com/STA, which is STAA, then that we'll set up a page together where they can sign up and get those credits. What can I do with 100 credits? What does that enable me to actually do?
You see how it works. You upload CVs, you match those CVs immediately, you can sell these CVs to those companies.
And how long, there's the credits, but how much time would it take to get up and running with the system?
It's very easy. So, and I will talk with everybody with a 1-hour session to walk them through.
Okay, so you're also going to give them an onboarding?
Totally.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an irresistible offer, Gerard. I think, why wouldn't you do that? That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, listen, as always, an absolute pleasure speaking to you, Gerard. And we'll include, of course, all your information and the link we just said in the show notes. But also would highly recommend people check you out on LinkedIn. You're like a Dutch Tony Robbins. You're like super positive. I always feel pumped every time I speak to you, and you're sharing interesting content for recruiters on LinkedIn as well. So people should connect with you there. Gerard, thank you so much. This was fun.
Mark, thanks a lot. I wish you a lot of success with your podcast. I read that you are in the top 5% of Spotify podcasts, right?
I know. I couldn't believe that. That's
amazing.
Crazy to me, especially because it's such a niche podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that is purely down to consistency over time. And a lot of podcasts start and then they don't continue. So yeah, we were in the top 5% of podcasts on Spotify. So yeah, so thanks to, I think a lot of that is the quality of the people that I interview on this show,
yeah,
including yourself, Gerard. And this is now your third time on the program. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
All right, Gerard, have a great day. Speak to you soon.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Resilient Recruiter. I know how busy recruiters are, so I'm honored that you're investing this time with me each week. I don't take your attention for granted. That's why I'm going all out to deliver value for you here, real insights you can apply to improve your business. And if you really want to help me to reach a wider audience and impact more people, please consider leaving the show a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you leave me a review, please reach out and let me know so I can thank you personally. please hit the subscribe button and I'll see you next time.